Aggressive prosecutions may deal with police practices after the fact, but what of efforts to reform police departments to prevent street tension, racial suspicion, and the kind of brutality that has led to the latest unrest in Baltimore? Over the past decades, the U.S. Department of Justice has intervened in Cleveland, New Orleans, Los Angeles, Miami, and other places. DOJ has investigated the police department in Ferguson, Missouri, and was already investigating police misconduct in Baltimore when Freddie Gray's death occurred. The Marshall Project, which covers the criminal justice system in depth, has found that DOJ's involvement very often is successful in implementing some reforms in the early going, but much less effective in making those reforms stick. And in some notable cases, things haven't changed much at all. Simone Weichselbaum is a staff writer with the Marshall Project, and she and her team spent 5 months looking into the impact of Justice Department reforms.
The reason why we decided to do this story here at the Marshall Project is after a police-involved shooting that gets a lot of press attention, the feds are usually asked to come in by a city mayor or the public, and sometimes they do. And then we think, oh, problem solved. The feds will take care of it. So what we wanted to do is actually look back, going back into the mid-90s when these investigations first begun, and see what were the outlooks like? Did it actually work?
And so the people of Ferguson, who just got this report talking about patterns of racism within their own police department, very damning report, assumptions on the part of the people on the streets of Ferguson that, okay, maybe something will be done now. If you were to look at the situation in Los Angeles and Cleveland and the places you looked at, what should the people of Ferguson feel? That much will be changed, or that actually the report tends to be kind of the end of it?
Well, the report is actually the beginning of it, but what's needed in these situations is local buy-in. So with the LAPD, we had the feds were there for more than a decade almost,
right,
through most of Bill Bratton's tenure, and Charlie Beck took it over. And you had the police commissioner say, yes, we have a problem and we're going to address it. Cleveland, what was really interesting to us was actually the feds were in there in the early aughts, which again, when Eric Holder announced his findings report in late December, that wasn't really announced at the press conference. So it was really shocking to me to see, wait a minute, the feds were already in Cleveland. They had said, hey, police officers, you guys have a problem here of firing upon fleeing vehicles. And what brought them in the first place in 2012, I believe, was again, officers firing at a car. It was 137 bullets that were fired, got a lot of press attention. The mayor had asked the feds to come back, and here we are again. So with Ferguson, what will be interesting is with the new leadership, they had elections there recently, will the local city officials actually say, yes, we're going to follow the federal reforms? If there's an election in 4 years or another 8 years, will those set of new local officials also buy into the local reforms? So that's very important. It's not just the Fed's role here. You have to have a partnership between local and the federal government.
Does there need to be a mechanism to ensure buy-in, to monitor buy-in, and to make sure that the community is dealing with this seriously?
Well, in a way, there is a mechanism. It's called the federal monitor. So in many of these agreements, there's something called a consent decree, where both local officials and the federal government basically sign a bunch of paperwork to say, yes, we are going to follow this reform plan. But what happens is, as we looked at, this wasn't in this story, but the first story we had done on this situation in Cincinnati, there was something called a memorandum of agreement that was signed by both local officials and the feds. We sort of looked at the story analytically and saw that there were sort of mixed results. You do have local buy-in still in place years later, but you still have issues with them shooting folks who are mentally ill. You still have use of force issues and people of color. So there is a mechanism in place with the federal monitor. But again, you know, 5 years goes by, 10 years goes by. How do we know these things are going to still stay in place? The feds can't stay there forever.
Is the Marshall Project interested in the possibility that, you know, maybe these videos themselves, which are a huge new factor really over the last couple of years in the sense that everyone's got a camera in their hands? I mean, the Rodney King video, of course, is a while ago now. But are the videos themselves and the idea that police now have an expectation that they're going to be caught if something happens, a form of accountability that perhaps the federal government can design to take advantage of on some level?
Well, the federal government in many of these reform plans does ask for body cameras or dashboard cameras, but we sort of have two parallel use of cameras here. We have the public walking by an incident, which we saw with the Walter Scott case, and recording it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the instance of the actual police officer keeping his camera on at all times. So by chance, if you have a member of the public walking by a situation and recording it, great. That is great evidence to support a situation where the officer said something else had occurred. But many instances, what we have to rely on are body cameras or dashboard cameras. And that gets to a whole other issue of disclosure when the police department says they will or will not share that information. And also, if the body cameras even work, that's also another issue. That's one thing I did learn while reporting the story, that there's no uniform rules for police departments out there. It's all willy-nilly. And it will take a lot of work with the federal government and the police lobbyist groups to come up with a plan, if they ever do, of saying, hey, these are some concrete rules we need, and all police departments should follow these rules, whether it's body cameras, whether it's use of force policies.
Simone Weichselbaum is staff writer with the Marshall Project. Thanks so much.
No problem.